The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Back in Vegas for the second hour. We're exactly 4 hours away from the draft. And we have had a blast today talking to some of the best college football coaches in the country. We had Dan Lanning on earlier, the defensive coordinator from Georgia, who's now the head coach at Oregon. And we welcome back to our program Coach Luke Fickell of Cincinnati. We had the opportunity to talk to Coach at the national championship game, and we watched you in the national semifinals out in Arlington. It's great to see you, Coach.
I appreciate it. It's better to be back on a different terms, you know. You didn't want to be that. I didn't want to be with you, but, you know, you're not playing in the game. You got beat, so you get invited to come and talk. Yeah. So this is a better opportunity.
Well, thank you. It's really good to see you. And, again, I was talking about something the other day, and I was still in awe of what Cincinnati did last year. And I know that you came very close the year before, but what has it meant for your program to have done what a lot of people thought was impossible for a school like yours, to get to the national semifinals?
Well, it's always unique because, you know, you go into these recruiting situations and your own kids. Once you get them there, then you got to recruit them and you know, kind of build the minds for what you expect. And you know, we always talk about, hey, show me as opposed to just tell me, right? And when you're first starting a program, you're selling a dream. And then when all of a sudden the dreams start to become a reality, to me, it's a little bit easier for a lot of those guys to see. And for us, that's what it's, I think, done for the program and a lot of our kids in the locker room, that those things that we were kind of talking about and, you know, hey, you got to believe in this, and if you come here, we can do this. And then all of a sudden it becomes a reality that it you know, you get a lot more interest, you get your guys even some more buy-in to the, not that we needed more buy-in, but it just, you know, it's gratifying in a lot of ways for all of us as a coaching staff, but it's even more gratifying for those kids to see, you know, when they believe in what it is they're doing and believe in what it is that we're telling them, that things can happen like that.
And to piggyback off of that, Coach, you have tonight, which is a critically important night. The projections are you'll have one definitely in the first round, maybe two, depending on the checkerboard or the chessboard. Talk about this night as well, because Cincinnati will be mentioned quite often and very early.
It is. It's a huge night. I mean, it's a huge weekend for us, for our program, for our kids. But tonight in particular, you know, with obviously Ahmad Gardner, hopefully, you know, could be the highest drafted guy in Cincinnati history. It was all the way back to Greg Cook, who was the fifth player taken, I think the 69 or 68 draft.
Back in my heyday.
Yeah. So we're hopeful. But more than anything, it's that same thing. It's the reality of the things that you've been, you know, kind of preaching for 5 years about, you know, it's amazing what can happen, you know, when you do things together, when you have success as a team, that gives you a greater opportunity, a greater stage. And as you know, sometimes that, you know, when they try to say, hey, what's going to give a guy like Ahmad Gardner the chance to become a top 5 or 10 pick? Well, be honest, he probably had to play against Alabama. He probably had to play against Georgia. He probably had to have some of those games where they could actually say, okay, well, maybe he wasn't playing against the number one wide receiver in the country all the time. And when they do get those opportunities, you can see, you know, I think it gives them a chance to separate.
And on top of all that, Coach Fickell, here you are about to go into another league. I know you're still in that awkward phase.
Man, sure, without a home.
but from a recruiting standpoint, it is all moving forward. I mean, you've got a lot of adrenaline pumped into this program right now. What's the Big 12 look like for Cincinnati?
Well, I haven't spent a whole lot of time trying to look at that. I mean, we've got a year or so to go here, and there's a lot of things obviously that have come down the pipe here in the last, you know, even year or even 6 months with a lot of other things are going on in college football, but
we'll get to those.
Yeah. But more importantly, I think that it's one of those things in recruiting that just, you know, you're still trying to sell that dream and that vision. And for us, more than anything, it's the ability to grow our program. And by going, you know, to the Big 12, it gives us a chance to continue to grow our program. Not that we weren't growing before, but even with facilities and things like that that we believed in and we knew that had to happen. But all of a sudden, when the whole program, when the university and everything starts to see the growth and what can happen by going to another league, I think you get a lot more of that buy-in. So there's a lot of things for our program, for our kids, just by going to the new league that are going to be really, really good for them.
With Coach Luke Fickell of the University of Cincinnati, and on that, and it, you can't get away from
this conversation. It's talked about in private. Talked to a couple of coaches already today, and those three letters, NIL, and then you add the transfer portal to that. That's even cursed louder than NIL. How are you and your program dealing with this right now?
Well, this is a great time since the head coaches can't go on the road recruiting, and to say you got a grasp on what is going on, I'd like to talk to the guy that's got the grasp on it. But nonetheless, I know for us, we're trying to figure out how it fits our program and how's this going to give us an opportunity for our kids to continue to move forward. How's it going to give us a chance to grow our program, make sure our kids are taken care of? So I think everybody's a little bit different on what they're going to do with it, how it's going to go, being the kind of the first year. But I think for us, I think we spent a lot of time. We've got a really good plan moving forward here. We're going to really try to keep this as a utopia and make sure we can try to take care of everybody. I want to preserve our locker room as best we possibly can. And to me, that's a way to get everybody on our team involved in some version of what we would consider our NIL program.
I mentioned the portal, and you know, some coaches say the portal is what's keeping them up late at night when you add NIL as an incentive. How do you deal with that? You recruit, recruit constantly, yeah, every day of the year. You get players on your campus, and then you have to keep them there.
Well, we've been very fortunate. It's, you know, success can do that to you. I mean, we probably only had a couple kids go into the portal. And for me, sometimes there are good reasons to go in the portal. There's guys that need new starts, and there's new opportunities and things like that. But I think everybody, it's the same thing. You got to use it for what you feel like it's best for your program. For us, it's not something we feel like we want to continue to build upon. We signed 24 high school kids 2 years ago. We signed 19 high school kids this year. Next year, we want to sign at least 20, 22 high school kids. We still believe that our program is built through high school kids, and we fill some gaps. We have our own little matrix to say, okay, if someone's going to come in here that doesn't come out of high school, then they've got to fit a little bit of a matrix because, again, this for us, the ability to keep our locker room the right way for what we believe is going to give us success, I think it makes it a little bit difficult if you're using the portal for us in a different way. So it's been pretty good for us. We've hit it really, really good with some guys that might be called tonight, or not, maybe not tonight, but in this weekend. But again, it is something that does keep me up, but it's just navigating what's best for our program.
Some of the top coaches in football, and you certainly are one of them, winning National Coach of the Year Award, have talked about it making college football less sustainable in the future. And I know you can't be concerned with what the product looks like down the road, but your thoughts on what is the next step for the sport?
Well, we'll figure out who that next maybe president of the NCAA is. I've got some thoughts. I'm not going to shoot them out here right now, but I think we're at a crossroads, really, in collegiate athletics. And which direction do we go? We're surely not going to stay straight, right? It's not going to be the same thing that I knew when I played, or even what we knew maybe 5-6 years ago. I think we're at a real crossroads to figure out which direction we go. And really, we kind of got to figure out who's going to lead us in that direction, you know.
Without mentioning specifically, what type of person should lead? The former president, the current president, about to be former, was a college president, and that seems to be where they have been comfortable with in the past.
Well, maybe we can find someone that's got a background in all of it. I don't know. I think that someone's got to have a real background in athletics. I do think that it's completely different. Dynamics on a campus with all that's going on, with the people that really help these student athletes, these 18 to 22-year-olds. You know, I mean, you want them to take that love and care and like their own child. And it's hard sometimes when money becomes involved. So I just think that we've got to have somebody that's got a background and understanding what locker rooms are like, all locker rooms, not just football. All locker rooms, male and female. What really, as a whole, what direction do we want to go with college athletics? You know, is it going to be more towards semi-pro sports? Is it going to try to stick in some way of being a, what we know as a, you know, as an amateur of some sorts, and help guide us in that direction and get control over all the different things that continue to pop up with, between the politics and the changing of all that's going on.
We're talking to Coach Luke Fickell. Coach, I know coaches, especially you, don't like talking about themselves because you're a coach of a lot of players, but it has been truly remarkable from a distance to watch and see what you have accomplished. Now, I know there really is very little time to stop and reflect, but there has had to have been a moment or two. I mean, you've gotten every award there is. You've accomplished things that no one thought was possible. What has it been like for you?
I try not to. I think that my wife reminds me of that. She reminded me tonight as I left, or today as I left, to make sure you try to enjoy this. And brought Coach Collins, our strength coach, with us because he's the only chance I have to probably enjoy it, because he'll keep me in, you know, trying to enjoy and recognizing all these things that that are happening. But I think when I went to the Senior Bowl and we had, I think, six or seven guys, could have had eight guys there, to see those guys there, to see how they kind of hung out, they were so excited to see a group of us come down. That was one of those moments where I was just like, you know, I want to smile. As we got back on a plane, then you're like, okay, well, now we don't have those guys. Then the combine moment or our pro day moment was one of those ones where, you know, our first couple years there, we might have had a couple scouts. You know, we were outside throwing in the in the snow, I think, the first year. And to see that with all the people that were there this year, it was one of those moments where take a couple deep breaths. And then I think this moment is just this weekend in general with some of our guys seeing a lot of their, what I would say, dreams, but their passions are going to be able to come true. And, you know, it's a great example to our entire program and our community and our university.
Coach, it's great to have you here. And by the way, you must have a remarkable wife. I don't know any woman in the history of mankind who's ever told her husband on the way to Vegas, enjoy yourself.
Well, I've never actually been here very often. One time as per recruiting, but yeah, you know what? I do. I'm pretty fortunate in that way.
A lot of men are going, man, where do you find one? Coach, it's always good to see you, and thanks for making time to come by.
Paul, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Oh, what a pleasure. Coach Lou Fickell, nice enough to join us. We've had a fantastic time already. We're a long way from done. We have some major, major coaches and important people that will be part of the draft joining us as we are live in Las Vegas.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
And we are live here in Las Vegas. Gorgeous day. Not too hot. Crowd beginning to form. That will be a sea of humanity in 4 hours as the first pick will be made. We'll talk to Mel Kiper coming up here in just a few minutes about who he thinks will be the first pick. And if you're a Georgia fan, you will likely like his prediction. We've already had some great coaches. Dan Lanning came by and Luke Fickell, two bright young coaches. And really setting quite a trail. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We're talking to coaches. We're bringing in calls. So a lot of mix and it's almost a smorgasbord here. An all-you-can-eat buffet here at one of the casinos. Let's grab some calls here. Mac is in Baltimore. Hello, Mac.
Hey, Paul, how's your draft day going? It's got to be pretty exciting. Non-college day for you. It's got to be one of the top ones.
It's really been great. Thank you for asking.
That's awesome. Well, I just wanted to call because I understand Trayvon Walker's probably going first. You know, Georgia's got a shot at breaking. You know, most players drafted. They had a great season, lots of NFL prospects. I'm just curious, so far, has Kirby Smart produced really any non-running back or offensive line talent in the NFL? I mean, I know we're trying to compare him and we're trying to compare Georgia to Bama. They finally got their championship ring. But, you know, if I'm a defensive player and I don't think I'm that good, or I think I'm good but not NFL good, I'm going to Georgia because I know I can contribute because they'll put me in places to succeed. Will they develop me? Who knows? And I was just curious on your take on that.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to say he hasn't been there very long because he's in his 6th year, so he's had a pretty good chance to develop players. But I think that all changes after tonight. I mean, this is as great a night for the University of Georgia from a recruiting standpoint as almost winning the national championship. I mean, you could argue, you know, one versus the other, but right now you have all these young players who are thinking about making an early commitment. Some may have already done it, and they'll all be watching. This is a big deal for 17 and 18-year-olds to see about what the generation ahead of them, or the class, or a couple of classes ahead of them, are doing. So when the broadcast comes on tonight, it's going to be Georgia all the way. You'll see Kirby Smart. You'll see Dan Lanning. Just like we've already seen it all day here on our network. So I think that will speak loudly for them. They won't be the only one. I think Fickell certainly gets a bump, but nobody's getting a bigger bump than the University of Georgia here tonight. Mac, thanks so much for the call. Really do appreciate it. You be well. Blake is up next in Georgia. Hey, Blake.
Hey, how are you?
Blake, we are doing great.
Hello?
Thank you. Yeah, go right ahead.
I just wanted to mention, you know, I think Nick Saban is still the best coach ever. But I'm from Georgia, graduated from Georgia, and Kirby, while he was a defensive coordinator for Bama, Alabama was 4-0 in national title games. Since he's left, you know, those years that he has not been at Alabama, Alabama's 2 out of 5 and 2-2 in title games. So I think Kirby deserves some credit for some of those 4 titles that Alabama won, is all I'm saying. And,
well,
you know
what,
we know that.
Hold on a second. But no, there's not an Alabama fan in the world, who, including Nick Saban, who hasn't given him some credit for that. So it's not like somebody came in and said Kirby Smart was not a part of that. He was a big part of that.
Yeah, I think Mark Ingram recently made a statement on Twitter that Kirby was, you know, no Nick Saban in it.
Well,
he guaranteed that Alabama would be back.
I don't know Mark Ingram very well, but it's not like anybody's really hanging on what Mark Ingram says on Twitter.
Well,
hey, thanks for the call.
Jim
is up next. Go right ahead, Jim.
Well, you're dusting them off, Feinbaum. I've got to give you credit. You're running off the obnoxious mouthpieces. You know what? I'm going to admit something, Paul, and you've done well today. You really have. I'm going to admit, the other day, who knows better than me, because I'm one of the deans of this staff, am I not?
I would say you are.
Well, you gave me some kind of credibility in that book. I'm just going to say right now, I was wrong about this JK character. You know what? I knew the guy was dumb when the other day I complimented him so plainly that somebody in Bryce Hospital would never miss it. He didn't know what was – he said, oh, is this a compliment? Now, I knew then the guy was a moron. And today, his overbearing crap about some team like him talking about Miami is like us talking about Biden being a great president. I mean, you know what I mean, Paul? I mean,
yeah,
come on. Give me a little credit here.
Jim criticized me for being rude to him. I don't think I was rude enough.
No, you weren't rude to him. No, he's so dogmatically obnoxious talking about a foolish things like Miami, and this ain't his community, by the way. This is an SEC community. Is it right or wrong?
Well, by the name of the network, it is, yes.
Yeah, well, I know you take other people out of a foreign
by
land.
By the way, I don't mind
still.
Anyone calling in, but what I do mind is somebody calling in every day saying things that are just specious and
ridiculous.
Irrelevant.
Ridiculous. Let me say it for you. Absurd, obnoxious, what's the word? Overbearing.
Yeah, by the way, you were right the first time.
There's another
time
word
saying
I'm
dogmatic.
Trying to think of right now. Huh?
I think dogmatic pretty well describes it.
There's even a better one than that. I wish I could think of it. That just talking about something that nobody cares about except maybe the Miami football team.
He's not, nor will he ever be. And that's Saban.
Say that again. What?
One thing that
he's not even in the area code of sapience. Not in, even close. If he got there, he wouldn't know where he was. Just like the other day when he didn't know where he was, when I gave him the biggest compliment probably I've ever given a caller, and that guy said, "Oh, whoa, is this a call? Is this a compliment to fall? Is he kidding?" I knew then this guy, I'm wasting time on that cat, and I don't think he will ever be a great caller now because he's too. What's the word for what I'm trying? He's just too argumentative, you know, about stupid stuff.
Yeah, Jim, I tell you, you know, he's playing in the major leagues, and right now he needs to be sent down to the minors. I mean, he needs to go to single A and get a little batting practice.
No, I don't even think they take him there. I haven't been there, but I've watched single A. They're a lot better players in single A than
you were in high school, Jim. All the cool kids sit at one table, and then some weird guy comes and tries to sit with them.
Well, you know what, Paul? I tried to be friendly to the little guys because I felt sorry for them. Even in batting practice, I'd give them tips. This guy, I gave him a tip, and he didn't know how to take it. That's enough for me.
Jim, you know the deal, and I'm not speaking ill of any show because I don't know what show he used to call in, but he used to call in some of the local shows, and I think he felt like he could just walk in here and be a star, but he found out this is a different league.
And he ain't nothing like a star. Number one, he says dumb things. It's dumb to talk about Miami, who hasn't beat nobody and can't win, and he's out here talking about Miami like they're Alabama, and they ain't Alabama. I guess that's all.
Professional you are, Jim.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's go to Red Dog next. Now that we've one professional, we'll have the antithesis of that coming up here. Red Dog.
My God, I'm glad that is finally over because I feel like I'm watching a reality show. Jim's the mental patient in the mental hospital. You're sitting there patting him on the back, telling him how good he is, where the mental patient won't hit himself in the face and give himself a black eye because he's so full of crap. I mean, the guy's an idiot, okay? And, Paul, you said the smartest thing you've said in the last 5 years. You said about 3 minutes ago, you said Georgia's going to go all the way. I love that, Paul. Did you say Georgia all the way tonight?
I'll have to go back and listen to the tape, Red Dog.
Okay, well, and did I hear Jim say that he gave the Georgia players batting tips at the at the baseball game? Did he say that?
I don't know what he said.
Well, maybe he needs to go help the Tuscaloosas out because Georgia beat them 2 out of 3 and we suck at baseball. So, you know, you're right. Hey, y'all get used to it. Kind of be like that national championship game. We're going to dominate again tonight. It's going to keep happening. If you're a 5-star recruit, come to Athens. Because you know what? Kirby Smart won a national championship at 46. Poor old Nick couldn't do it till he's 54. Go Dogs.
It's going to be a dog night here in Vegas. We are taking a break. We've already talked to Dan Lanning, the Georgia defensive coordinator, now the head coach at 36 years old of the University of Oregon. You heard Luke Fickell. We've had Jesse Palmer. So many more, including Mel Kiper Jr., coming up shortly.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back to our coverage of the NFL Draft live from Las Vegas. And joining us, of course, a man who I think he invented the NFL Draft, even though evidence would prove to the otherwise. But he's pretty much been to almost all of them for those of us alive today. Mel Kiper Jr. joining us. Mel, thanks so much. I've always wondered, on the day of the draft, I'm sure your antennas are up maybe more than normal. What do you look and listen for as the afternoon wears into the early evening?
Absolutely nothing, Paul. All the work's been done. Today is just basically to talk to you and do the stuff for SportsCenter and different shows with Max and leading up to the draft. We have rehearsals and things like that. But all the work is done as of last night when I put the mock draft, mock 5.0, to bed. We woke up this morning. It's up on ESPN.com. All the ratings are done. The analysis has been completed for a while. Final ratings board is up on ESPN.com. Final positional board is up on ESPN.com. So today is just basically waiting. Now I know what guys feel like with Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football, waiting all day to play a game. So you kind of wish you could tee it up right now, but we have to wait till 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific to do it. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Probably, we claim, and we're thinking it may be one of the most unpredictable drafts in a long time, even though we right now have an idea maybe what will happen at 1 and 2.
Mel, if you could go back to the first mock, and you do that, you know, significantly long time ago, how different does the top look from then till now?
It's been crazy, Paul, with Jacksonville, because we thought initially it would be, you know, Aiden Hutchinson. Then, well, they franchised Cam Robinson. So you figure, okay, now they're going to go O-line and take Ike Ekwonu or Evan Neal. I went with Ike Ekwonu from NC State. Then they're back after they franchise. They, okay, now they're going to go defense again. Is it going to be Aiden Hutchinson? So you kind of lock Aiden in, then Trayvon Walker with a great combine. You're talking top three. I had him three in the last mock. Now we got a number one. So it's been kind of crazy with Jacksonville going defensive end, then not defensive end. Now they're back to defensive end. So it's been Jacksonville kind of back and forth, and that certainly has impacted the Lions, who are sitting there at two, loving everything that's going on, because if they end up with Aiden Hutchinson, who wants to be a Detroit Lion, from that area, great player at Michigan. Aiden, I talked to him about a month ago. That's where he thought he was going. And here we are today, looking like Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a Detroit Lion.
Mel, in relation to Trayvon Walker, where did he begin in this process? And have you seen many? I mean, I'm sure there's always some strange cases, but how unprecedented is his rise, assuming he does go number one in a couple of hours?
Yeah, I remember Mario Williams, remember from NC State, going ahead of Reggie Bush when it looked like Reggie Bush was going to be the number one pick overall, and Mario Williams ended up being the pick of the Houston Texans. I think when you look at where we are right now with Trayvon, it's the physical, athletic prowess that he brings to that position that makes him a guy that you kind of roll the dice with. It's a risk-reward thing, Paul, because he's not a guy who uses his hands well. He certainly wasn't productive. 9.5 sack production for a career is not much. It's historically low. Only 13 career tackles for loss. Only one career forced fumble. That is way below what all the great defensive players that went number one overall in the D-line put up. So I think you're rolling the dice, say, for Jacksonville. If Brenson Buckner, their defensive line coach, remember him, Clemson Tiger defensive lineman, can get the most out of Trayvon Walker, who right now is a talent who needs some refinement. And I've obviously, like talk about, needs some technique work and needs to do a better job using his hands.
Why do you think, and I realize you just do the mock, or you leave it to the GM, so why do you think the Jaguars are moving toward him, even though, as you've just said, there's some uncertainty there?
I think 6'5", 272, Paul, with 4.5 speed, a 35.5 vertical, incredibly long arms, and versatility. Okay, he can wear a lot of hats on that defensive front, where Aiden Hutchinson, off the edge guy, played up, played down, but the inside guy. Actually, I thought Trayvon Walker, Paul, when I watched him, was quicker inside than he was outside. So he wasn't real twitchy, wasn't real explosive off the edge. Joy didn't bend the edge. He was more, I think, of a dominant factor inside. He's unbelievable against the run. But if you're going to go number one overall, you got to be a sack producer. And 9.5 isn't many. I guess it's an historically low number. 13 tackles for loss, not many disruptions. Now, he did have, 35 quarterback hurries. But they give quarterback hurries away like they're pieces of chewing gum. So, yeah, I want finishing plays. I want sacks, tackles for loss, forced fumbles. You didn't see that enough with Trayvon Walker. They are betting, Paul, that the talent will win out once he gets better technically. And if they can do that and more instinctively, which is something you can't coach or teach, if he's not instinctive enough, maybe he won't ever develop. But we hope, if you're going number one, and we hope Trayvon goes number one and becomes a great player at Jacksonville, but there's some things he needs to work on.
A few more minutes with Mel Kiper, who called this the best day of the year in football. I'd like to ask you about that because it is dramatic, and it can. And I, you know, being out here, as you've been to so many drafts, it's just it's amazing to me how many fans come from every part of the country, if not the world, to be one of 50 or 100 or in some cases a half a million to just say they were there. I mean, talk about it from a historical standpoint about what this used to be and what it is right now.
Paul, it's a great question. I was talking to Chris Berman, Boomer, just about an hour ago, and we were reminiscing about the old days and about the great memories we had doing those drafts back in 1984, 85, and all the way through. And it's just what it was then to what it is now. We were at the Marriott Marquis Grand Ballroom. We were at Radio City. We were at different places. But to have it on the road with, as you said, hundreds of thousands of people is what I thought it could be. And for me, that's the only thing I think I've gotten right in terms of predictions, in terms of things. You get a lot wrong about players, but I thought back when I was 16, 17 years old that the draft could be a monumental, huge event. And to see it get to this point is very rewarding for me. It's great for the NFL. It's great for everybody. And it brings college football and the NFL together for three great days in late April when we haven't had football for long. We had spring football, which is great, but we haven't had in spring games. But we haven't had this type of thing where we bring them both together, Paul. And everybody knows that this day, these 3 days, will determine a lot about what happens in the fall for the NFL teams, that whether they nail these picks or they don't, will be reflective come September and October.
So great to talk to you, Mel Kiper. Be well. We'll be watching you all day and all night. It's always good to see you, Mel.
Thanks, Paul. You're the best, pal. Take care, man.
Thank you so much. Mel Kiper, Jr. He's working on 40 drafts to have covered. And we'll take a break. We're live in Vegas, so we'll take a short break and get back to some more of our guests as we continue here on a nice, crisp, warm Thursday afternoon in April.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're 3 hours and 12 minutes from the beginning. That place will be jam-packed here in a couple hours as Vegas is coming alive. So as we went to the break, I think Jim was followed by Red Dog. Not always a great combination. You know, one genius, one Einstein, the other I-Man. Jim, you're back, I understand.
Thank you, Paul. And here's what I want to say. Try to be calm about it. I've got some, I had a cold and I can't hardly talk, but I'm going to get it out best I can. Let's give the Paul, if you don't mind, can we give the audiences, new callers, a new audience every day that don't know what's going on? And I want to fill them in if you want, and I think you can confirm it. You know, the inside baseball is what I'm going to talk about, this imbecile that just came on and said I was a mental patient. You know, look, here's the deal. Here's the real deal on that fool, that idiot. That moron, whatever he is, he's an imbecile. Red Dog is not Red Dog. Paul kicked him off the show, banned him. He was so obnoxious. Kicked him off and did. Everybody loved it because this guy, and I made one mistake. JK is second in line about being the moron caller. This guy, Red Dog, he's number one of all time stupid idiots on the show. Now, here's what happened. Paul kicked him off the air. He stayed off about 2 or 3 months. Paul lets him back on. He comes back in as Red Dog. He was Matt from Gainesville, ladies and gentlemen. He was a sorry, he was sorry, just like he is now. But he was Matt from Gainesville. That's his name. From Georgia, obviously. So he comes in and thinks he's fooling. He didn't fool Paul, but Paul realized, well, this guy, nobody knows him. He'd been on for a year. He's not like Jim, who's too famous to be come back in as somebody. If I kicked him off there, he could come back in as tidal wave or something. So you were able to let him back in. I don't know why you did it, but you knew. I'm sure you knew it. He was Matt from Gainesville, right? When he came back as Red Dog, right, Paul?
Oh, yeah, I mean, Jim, we're not kindergarten
complete idiots
here.
You're not complete idiots.
You hear someone that inarticulate, it's not hard to discern who he is and what he's all about.
Yeah, I knew that, so that's what happened. So now this moron, his stupid ass, well, I better watch his team
that's okay.
Wins.
You had it right the first time.
They win. Georgia wins, you know, backs into a, I think they actually backed into that championship. They're good, no doubt about it. But this time, again, I think they backed into it. Like, some, you can say what you want to, but Alabama lost key players in that game. And that Alabama beat them worse by far, Paul. This is the point. By far worse. But Alabama dominated when they won. Georgia didn't dominate. They barely won. They won on the end. Am I right or wrong?
Well, Alabama had a lead, and
yeah, but they, yeah, exactly, and they.
I mean, remember, Alabama had the ball with the best quarterback in college football, and a chance to.
Yeah, but he didn't have no receivers then, Paul. He did not have the receivers, man. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say, and that's the point. That's a valid point, Paul. But let me get back to Matt from Gainesville. So okay. Matt comes in here running his mouth, and I guess, I don't know, what did you get some calls from Georgia that I think he's got some kind of, his father-in-law is must, I heard his father-in-law is some kind of, is he a big shot or something in Georgia?
Oh, yeah. I mean, unlike the two of us, I mean, he's a privileged kid, silver
spoon. Hey, there you are, ladies and gentlemen. So Paul has pressure on him to take back this Matt from Gainesville, the stupidest caller I really believe ever on the show. I mean, Matt from San Antonio can give this guy a clinic on what needs to be said. I mean that. Of course, he's in the same league with iMonkey, but those three people are the worst and most boring, and nobody knows who they are even now. They don't know who they are.
So true. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Matt is up next in D.C. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller. Thanks for hearing me out.
Thank you.
Wanted to get your take on a couple receivers. I'm a Chicago Bears fan. They got two picks in the second round. I'd like to think they will use at least one of them on a wide receiver. Would like to get your take on George Pickens and John Michie. And in connection with Pickens and former Bulldog wide receivers, the Bears have had a bit of bad luck drafting Bulldog wide receivers in recent years. They struck out a little bit with Riley Ridley. Took a long shot on Javon Wims. That didn't work out either. So a little gun shy there. But anyway, I'll hang up, listen to your comments. And again, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, guys, back in the studio, for some reason, I'm hearing some other show in my ear, so if I'm not hearing the caller very well, that is, yeah, Matt, I apologize. Here's the deal. I didn't hear anything you said, so I apologize. I'm sitting here, and there's another. Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, I literally, I feel terrible about this poor guy. He waited an hour and a half to call in. And all I heard was another call during the conversation. Let me reset the scene. I can hear myself. We started the show with Dan Lanning. He's a new Oregon coach. He was Kirby Smart's DC, and he was the architect behind that defense that we will hear all evening long. We talked to Luke Fickell. He was by our studio from the University of Cincinnati. Jesse Palmer came by, Mel Kiper. We've got more coaches, including Ryan Day and Marcus Freeman. We are jam-packed as we head for the second half of the program live in Vegas.